The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Bob Hutchinson sitting in for Pete Hornbuckle for The Way It Ought to Be. Each year, just before Thanksgiving, the President of the United States shows mercy on a turkey, and that turkey is pardoned from execution and gets to live its life to the full. On a more serious note, countries from around the globe have shown mercy to the people of Haiti in the aftermath of their devastating earthquake, the most serious in more than 200 years. The Red Cross organization is set up specifically to help others, to show mercy to others, victims of wars or national calamities such as earthquakes, floods, and other things. The Bible speaks of mercy as having pity and compassion for the ills of others. Mercy is also translated as compassion and grace or graciousness in other places. It means to show favor, and often unmerited favor. You may remember after the days of Abraham and his son Isaac, God's blessings were passed on to Jacob, whose descendants grew to become the 12 tribes of Israel. In his great mercy, God delivered the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt. God raised up Moses to lead them to the promised land, and he gave them his commandments and laws so they might continue to receive his blessings and grace or mercy. Moses himself found grace in the eyes of God when he pleaded with God on behalf of the children of Israel after their grievous sins of debauchery and idolatry, which they had committed while Moses was receiving the law on Mount Sinai for 40 days and nights. Notice in Exodus chapter 33, beginning in verse 12. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found grace or mercy in my sight. Now therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you, and that I may find grace or mercy in your sight, and consider this nation in your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go up with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So shall we be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." Moses was pleading with God for grace or mercy, and for him to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Mercy, compassion, and loving kindness, a characteristic we are to be building in ourselves. We are to be sons and daughters of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 19 tells us, "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." Mercy is an important quality for all Christians, but it is most often used to describe God. There are many places that talk about God's mercy. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, we read, "God is rich in mercy." And over in Psalm 111, verse 4, it says, "The Lord is full of pity and mercy." According to your Bible, our very Creator, Jesus Christ, who died so we may have eternal life, is very merciful. David spoke of God's mercy in one of the Psalms. Notice in Psalm 136, beginning in verse 1. "Thanksgiving to God for his enduring mercy. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." He goes on to say in verse 2, "Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever." Continuing in verse 5, "To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him who made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. And finally in verse 9, the moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. We are told that God's mercy endures forever. That sounds like a really good thing. But what exactly is God's mercy, and how important is it? Should we also as individuals have God's mercy too? How do we develop or obtain mercy? Do you consider yourself merciful? Especially those that have hurt you or offended you. To those less fortunate than you are. To those you have failed that have not treated you fairly. To those that don't do the things your way. Are you really showing kindness, compassion, forgiveness, and mercy? Mercy is an important trait because it is always needed to reach forgiveness. And forgiveness of our sins is what God is all about. Forgiveness comes about when somebody wrongs you and you let it go without any sort of payback. And the only way to do that is to be merciful and not to give them something they deserve back. When we sin, God has forgiveness towards us only because he is merciful. We all want God to show us and to extend his mercy to us, but we must not forget what he inspired to be written in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, where he says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." God probably best defined what mercy is when we read in Psalm 103, verse 10, "He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities." Some may wonder why God would do this. Why would God give us forgiveness of our sins? Why would God let us sin and get away with it? There is a verse in the book of Romans chapter 2, verse 4 that explains it. Reading from the Living Bible, it says, "Don't you realize how patient he is with you? Or don't you care? Can't you see that he has been waiting all this time without punishing you, to give you time to turn from your sin? His kindness is meant to lead you to repentance." And over in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, in today's English version of the Bible, we read, "Look upon the Lord's patience as the opportunity he is giving you to be saved." Even though God may have given you his Holy Spirit, as Christians, we still from time to time sin. God is always willing to give us forgiveness of our sins, but he requires two things from us. We must repent, and we must also extend forgiveness to others for their sins against us, which means we must also have mercy on others. Do we expect God to show us mercy and compassion in our times of need when we come up short on showing mercy and compassion to others? Think about it. We all need to ask, do we get angry quickly as we jump to conclusions about a situation? Well, in Psalm 103, verse 8, we read, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy." The next time you're about to become angry about a situation, remember this psalm and quickly ask God in a silent prayer to give you the strength and wisdom to handle the situation with patience and abundant mercy. Notice in Isaiah 55, verse 6, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Mercy is a characteristic of God that we must be building. If someone asked your friends to describe you, would one of the first things be said about you that you are abounding in mercy? That's just how God is described. Notice in Luke chapter 6, verse 36, "Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." Perhaps no verse states mercy's importance more clearly than James, the second chapter, verse 13, where it says, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy." Mercy triumphs over judgment. Does anyone not want a merciful judgment from God, before whom we all must stand? It is so easy to judge others and to judge them or to condemn them wrongly. our tone of voice can lead others to wrongly judge us. Extend mercy to others in your mind before passing judgment. You or the other person will not be getting upset so quickly that way. English language dictionaries are often limited in helping us to understand mercy's biblical usage. In English, mercy is normally used to mean showing compassion, forbearance, pity, sympathy, forgiveness, kindness, tenderheartedness, liberality, or refraining from harming or punishing offenders or enemies. These synonyms give us some insight on this word. They all express how a merciful person might act. However, none of them specifically pictures what biblical mercy is, because the scriptural concept is virtually untranslatable into a single English word. The Greek word used in Matthew 5, verse 7, eleemon, which is E-L-E-E-M-O-N, means essentially the same as its English counterpart, merciful. However, in all likelihood, Jesus spoke in Aramaic, and the idea behind his statement about mercy comes from the Old Testament, that is the Hebrew language. The word he would have used in the Hebrew and the Aramaic is chesed, that's C-H-E-S-E-D. And I want to read to you from William Barclay's Daily Bible Study commentary on Matthew, because it explains this a lot better. Now, just quoting, it says, "It does not mean only to sympathize with a person in the popular sense of the term. It does not mean simply to feel sorry for someone in trouble. Chesed mercy means the ability to get right inside the other person's skin until we can see things with his eyes, think things with his mind, and feel things with his feelings. Clearly, this is much more than an emotional wave of pity. Clearly, this demands quite a deliberate effort of the mind and of the will. It denotes a sympathy which is not given, as it were, from outside, but which comes from a deliberate identification with the other person until we see things as he sees them and feels things as he feels them." Continuing on in the article, it says, "This is sympathy in the literal sense of the word. Sympathy is derived from two Greek words, syn, S-Y-N, which means together with, and parshin, which means to experience or to suffer. Sympathy means experiencing things together with the other person, literally going through what he is going through." And that's the end of that article. Much easier said than done, isn't it? Having a sense of another's feelings to this degree is very difficult to do because we are normally very self-concerned, so aware of our own feelings that sensitivity for others to this depth often requires a great effort of the will. Normally, when we feel sorry for someone, it is an exclusively external act because we do not make the effort to get inside another's mind and heart until we can see and feel things as he does. It is not easy to walk, as they say, in another person's shoes. Well, if you'd like some additional information, I invite you to write in for two booklets, Born with a Purpose and God's Grand Design. All you have to do to receive these booklets is to call us toll-free, the Marble Hill Church of God at 573-238-3675, and request those free booklets. Again, that's Born with a Purpose and God's Grand Design. You may also order these or any other booklets from our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org. Again, this is Bob Hutchison filling in for Pete Hornbuckle for The Way It Ought to Be.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and The Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill, meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org or call us at 573-238-3675 or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.